now the interesting stuff. That's Reggie B. And she has a kaleidoscopic interest in making things that you can see here and maybe have already seen in the Heaven Tent and the Silent Launch. And her talk is about the story and math behind the spherical lamps. Please, Reggie B.
Thank you. So thanks for coming to my talk. I'd like to tell you a bit about my pet project this year, which was about making these lamps. So who here likes math? Nice. That means I'm in the right place. Hello? No. Yes. So I hope to tell you, to show you that math can be very beautiful, and that I know I also did this project as a junior developer, and I hope you can learn a bit about like what my approach was like, and as my first like open source project. So a little bit about me. I'm Reggie B, and I'm an environmental scientist that turned into a Java developer, and I really like making stuff from a young age, like not as a thing, but like as a need or an urge. And I think one of my nicest project is like kaleidoscopes. So normally, if you have a kaleidoscope, then the image is flat, right? But you can actually bend it into platonic solids. So this is a dodecahedron. And I made a lot of these because I really like math art and lights and stuff. But this is also a tangent, so not the first one today, for the first time today. But let's move on to the story. It all started at Born Hack. And last year at Born Hack, we were talking a lot about why, of course. And Auk had these really big plans to make Heaven and Silent Lounge a very great space in this Arabic-style theme with flying carpets and incense and, of course, Arabic-style lamps, right? And the thing is, they can be pretty expensive and difficult to transport and to store. So I was like, can we not laser cut something? So I looked it up, but there was not really like a generator that generated these patterns. And by the time we were talking so enthusiastically, I was really getting invested already, and like the inner moth in me really wanted to make these lamps. So I decided I really wanted to create a generator that spit out these Arabic style lamps. And what I wanted was something that was spherical, but you could also make it from a flat piece. And it had to be a bit varied. So this is based on different kind of polygons. For example, this one is a square, and this one is a pentagon, and you can have like as many as you want. I also wanted to, of course, vary the size, and it has to have a hole in the top to pull lamp through, of course. So this is what we're gonna create. But by this time, I didn't really know like what this was even called, you know? So I finally found this website called The Math Doctors, and they explained that this shape is called a hosohedron, and it's also used in globe making. And in globe making, when you have these slices, they are called gores. So one if least slice, that's a gore. And this website had three ways to approximate a gore. The first of one, which was to just approximate it by circles. So I tried that, of course, as a first step. I used this application called ArcU, and I don't think anyone of you has heard about that, except for Ina, maybe. Because we both were talking on the Eindhoven Macon Fair to these people, and they had a mission to teach the architects how to code, and designers. And it's a bit like OpenSCAD, but JavaScript-based. And it's really fun. But unfortunately, I looked them up last week, and they changed their business plan to only selling the plans. So they've given up on teaching the architects to code, unfortunately. So The approximation didn't work out, so I had to brace myself for the math. Like, there was no cutting corners, only arches, you know. I found it very difficult, but luckily my partner is a theoretical physicist, and he helped me out a bunch. Some people, you know, like to go to bars together. We do the math together, which is very fun. I also remember at this time in the project, I was really having a bad case of the Born Hack blues. Like, who recognizes this? Yeah. And my coping mechanism was just to put every half an hour I could find in this project. So that was quite fun. But now we're into the math, right? Actually, the most difficult part of the math was defining the problem. So we have two states of the lamp. One is spherical, one is flat. So if we have the 3D shape, then we have like this globe with the gore in blue. And in the end, we put the origin right in the center of the sphere. And then the x-axis is right across from this globe, right here, which means that the z-axis is just height and the y in the back. And another very important step is to imagine this sphere being inside of one of those hosahedrons, because that means that the center line, right in pink, it lines up with this line right over here. And if we draw the flat system, it looks like this. And you can see that the x-axis is exactly the same, but now we have a different height system, which we call u. And the first step is actually to calculate what is the maximum height of the gore, which I call u max. And since it's on the inner sphere, it's actually quite easy. Does anyone want to have a go at like what the equation would be for u max? It's fine. So if you think about rolling up this on the sphere, it's from here to the point right, so it's exactly half a circumference of the sphere. So it's just pi times the radius of the sphere. RQ didn't work out because I needed something better I didn't want to approximate it, I just wanted to calculate it properly. So I needed a better tool, and then if I was going to build this generator anyway, I really wanted to open source it, because if I put so much effort, then, you know, I want to share it, of course. I've been using this website for a long time. It's called boxes.py by Florian Festi, and I thought it would be like so cool to contribute to this project. And this website allows you to laser cut like all sorts of boxes in any shape. By now they have like almost 100 generators, I think. So that became my end goal, to open source it through this website. But at this time, I also had some advice, like open source can be quite rough, and it was my first project, so people warned me, like, if you have rough feedback, don't worry, people are, you know, can be a bit difficult sometimes on the internet. So boxes.py uses Python, of course, and turtle graphics. And how turtle graphics works is you have the cursor or the turtle, and you rotate it a bit in the direction you want, and then say, go forward 100 or something. So it's more a relative-based system, not like absolute coordinates. The documentation on boxes.py did warn me to first fork the project and then start from there, which of course I didn't do, because I really wanted the math to figure out the math. So I just started using normal turtle graphics. And I made a proof of concept, and it worked after a while. And I was really happy, and then I wanted to integrate it into boxes.py, so I looked at the code base, and it was daunting, to say the least. Like, all of the code I'd written, I couldn't really use that much because there were different functions you had to use. It was huge, which got me really lost. There were tools like pre-commit, which really messed with my... Yossa knows. yeah, it was all very overwhelming, to say the least. And I was still figuring out the maths. And at some point, I kind of gave up for a little while, for like a month or so. And then finally, I just wrote a message on the GitHub, like saying, asking someone, like, can you just start me out in the right direction? And someone did, very kindly so. And when I finally had a start on which functions I could use, then I got my footing a bit back, and yeah, I was slowly starting to learn how this code base works. And this was the biggest part of the learning curve for me, for sure. And yeah, it's quite large if you don't know where to start. So let's do a little bit more math. So we just calculated the umax, but of course there's also the xmax. So if we imagine we cut the sphere throughout where z is zero, we of course get the maximum in the x direction. So that's what this picture shows. So this circle, if you see this angle, it's clearly the radius of the sphere, so 2 pi, divided by the number of polygons you want, divided by another half. And if you have this angle, then it's quite easy to figure out what x max is. Anyone wants another go, or? It's OK. So it's so if alpha is just pi divided by the number of polygons, or gores, then half of x max is the tangent of alpha times the radius of the sphere. So x max is double that. But the big problem is actually translating from this spherical system to the flat one. And how to do that is if we show you another cross-section where we are at the constant x, then we can draw this middle shape, right? Remember that one was the one on the sphere. So we can actually draw this u coordinate function, and you can see it's just along this curve. So that means we can use theta to express u in terms of the 3D system. And it's, yeah, not the most difficult part. It's just the angle times the radius. What's also important to know is that the origin of the system that's flat is actually on the bottom. So we have the 3D thing here, and the origin on the bottom. And so we also need y to calculate the function. And that means that y is the sine of theta times r. And so we need to remember this, and then we go to the next step. So if we are again to the a constant z-axis, but now in general, not the maximum, it's the same as we did before. So x divided by y is the tangent of alpha. Then we solve for x, so we move that to the one side, and then we replace the y with the function we just found. And then we get this, and we can actually recognize these parts because they are just x max. So in the end, it's quite an elegant function for the math. Oh, I don't know if you can see it, but it says x max times the sine of u divided by r, which is the radius. So now we have our formula for a gore, And this is the basics of what you need. And another fun part of this project, because it's so visual, we get these really funny bugs. So we have some flowers over here, or a dog with a cap on, you know. So I had some fun doing this. My favorite one is actually this one on the bottom, because I at some point I wanted to visualize where I was in my drawing, and I used colors. But Boxes.py only had one annotation style to put some colors. And so I did the annotation, wrote my code, removed the annotation, and then I ended up with this. I still don't know why that was the case, but I had to rewrite my functions again, over again anyway, so next time I just did it without the color. I think I will skip a bit on the last part, because I'm closing up on time. But this is the equations to solve for the top hole radius. And we'd use these functions to integrate two cylinders together, because if you can see from this side, one part of the goal is actually not part of a sphere, but of a cylinder. So like this, and then it intersects with the top. And that gives it enough math to make these spheres. Just before BornHack this year, I did a pull request and it got accepted. I had a little bit of feedback, but nothing at all what I was worried about. And I think it's really important that feedback is constructive and but also like a bit positive, especially if it's your first project. So in the end, it got accepted. It's live. You can actually go here and create some spheres yourself. And right now they're also hanging in Silent Lounge. I don't know if you visited, but it looks really nice. And I can really recommend contributing to Boxes.py, especially if you're a junior developer. It doesn't need to involve all these math. It can be like straight lines and easy. But because it's so visual, it means you have a little more fun to play around, I think. So you can go to Boxes.py and make some lamps or some other helmets or crazy other stuff. And please let me know. I'd really like to know if you make something. You can find me on Mastodon or email me. And I'm also at our local 3D print meetup that I help organize. So thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you, Reggie B. Exactly on time. Wonderful. So we have 5 minutes for questions. Any questions? There's the mic.
Thank you for the nice talk and the nice lamps. I was wondering, because now you have the shape, and I was very much wondering for the fill, like the pattern that you put in there. So how do you make sure that your pattern fills within the shape and not cut through the tabs?
I just used Inkscape to make a grid, because I didn't really have time. Well, I didn't. It's a feature I still wanted to implement, but I couldn't before. Like it was why. So
yeah. So that's it's a hack.
Yes. But if you if you want to have a go at it, you know, you'd be very welcome.
Challenge scene.
Thank you.
Yeah. More questions. There's also a mic in the back, right? Okay. No.
Apparently, I like attention. How did you get the lamps here? Like, what was the process to get them as part of the deco here at Y?
Yeah, because they're flat, they're quite easy to transport. And just put them in the back where my tent is, and then strap it on my back. And then we put them together here at Y.
That was more like the permission and how was the process to get something accepted into the Deco team as a contributor?
Oh, that was quite easy. Deco team is very open to all sorts of new input, and they usually say yes to any cool idea. So that was fun. Yeah.
I was wondering, do you have any recommendation for material to make these lamps from?
Yeah, I think the best would be polypropylene stuff, but that's expensive. So I just used Stuklöper, which is kind of cardboardy stuff that you put on the ground usually. But this is the shiny one, so it's very nice. But I use a lot of cereal boxes too.
Thanks for the talk and a great work. I'm interested in how you got the patterns. Do you also generate them? Can you share a bit?
No, I didn't. That was a feature I still wanted to implement, but I didn't come around to. So this is just an Inkscape pattern.
Just a small suggestion. If you look for a slightly sturdier material, you can look for aluminium plates, which can cheaply become as an offset printery, because the offset plates, they are quite good, and after use, they're discarded.
An offset plate?
Yeah, there is a thin aluminium plate, sizes something between A4 and A0.
Oh.
And they use it to print any kind of printing material.
Yeah, that sounds really fun for like more durable projects.
Yeah, exactly. We, in the theater world, we make gobos for in lamps from that material.
Nice. That's a good one.
Okay, so how many lamps were you able to carry in your backpack? So how many are here now?
How many lamps I made? I made 14 or 15 big ones, and then about 25 of the smaller ones in heaven.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. With a laser cutter, you don't really do the work except for changing, but still takes quite a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also thank you for sharing your experience with submitting to an open source project for the first time. So I think in the end it worked out, and you were persistent enough to go through, and thank you, because now the open source world is a better one. Because now they can make all these nice lamps. So, thank you.
Thank you.